Okay, let's begin. We're up to. Okay, we were learning yesterday about Hashana, about the Hashanis. And let me just jump around a couple of things. In Birchas Hamazon, we all know we have to say on Sukkot, we all say Yala V'Yavo. If you forget to say Yala V'Yavo, you do not repeat. Well, it depends. On Yom Tov, you must repeat the Birchas Hamazon. In Chol HaMoed, you do not repeat the Birchas Hamazon. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Just like we'd say, if you remember to say, yeah, if you've already concluded the bracha uvenei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh b'mherav Yameinu Baruch Atah Hashem b'nei v'rachamav Yerushalayim Amen, and then you remember, you can say a special bracha, bracha l'misha shochach, that appears in after Birchas Hamazon in most of the Sidurim. Now, the main point I want to point out is, everyone knows that you have to repeat the Yalla, repeat the Birchas Hamazon if you forget, either at night or by day. What about the Harachamans? Which Harachaman do you say on Yom Tov? So on a regular Yom Tov, we have a special Harachaman who Yanchileinu Yom Shekuloi Toiv. On Sukkot, we have a Harachaman who Yokim Lanu Es Sukkas David Hanoi Folas. So which one do you say? The answer is both. Both. Many people don't know this. I think most people, they say on Sukkot, it's only the second one, Harachamon, who Yokim Lanu Es Sukkas David Hanayfolas.
But only on the days of Yom Tov, right? Not on
Chol HaMoed. Oh, so let's clarify. It appears that the correct thing to do is on Yom Tov to say both. Harachamon hu yanchileinu yoim shekuloi toif. And then you say the next Harachamon. Harachamon hu yakim lanu esukas David hanoi foles. So on Yom Tov you say two Harachamons. On Chol HaMoed you only say one. Harachamon hu yakim lanu esukas David hanoi foles. Okay, I never knew that.
On Rosh Chodesh would you say Yom Tov?
Yeah, on Rosh Chodesh, it's not possible in Sukkot, but you say Rachman who Yichadesh Oleinu Hasachodesh Hazel L'Toyva.
I know, but would you say also Yom?
No, you don't say Yom. No, Rosh Chodesh, you do not say Yom Tov because you're allowed to do Malacha. It's not called Yom Tov. You're allowed what? All right, I can't fall out on Sukkot. We're asking a general question. Say, why don't we say? We're asking a general question. Why in Rosh Chodesh don't we say Rachman Yanchleinu Yom Shekuloi Toiv? It's not a Yom Tov. It's an ordinary day of the week. But on Sukkot, again, so on Yom Tov, we say two Harachamans. Chol HaMoed, we recite one Harachaman. If you get to say Yalav Yavo, you must repeat the Birchas HaMazon both at night and by day. And if you remember, before you begin the next bracha, you can say a special bracha that appears in the back of the Sidurim. It's called the bracha L'mi Sheshochach. Okay, let's move ahead. Okay, we'll jump around a couple different things. Let's discuss Chol HaMoed, the Haftorah. There's a difference between the Haftorah on Pesach, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot. What is the difference between the two? In the Baracha, do you make mention that it is Yom Tov? If you get Maftir on Chol HaMoed Sukkot, the chasima, the concluding bracha, makes mention that it is Sukkot. Okay, I'm sure many of you know this. Just to review the basics, and why is that so? That's because on every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, we bring a different set of korbanos, which is a very significant thing to be aware of. Because it reveals to us that the degree of simcha, the degree of Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed Sukkot is greater than the degree of Chol HaMoed on Pesach. Not all Chol HaMoeds are the same. There's a Chol HaMoed of Pesach and there's Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. The days of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot are more significant, they're more potent than the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. And the reason is, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, we bring the same exact korban, musaf, every single day on the 6 days of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Well, really, it's not. It's really 5 days. Right? Really, it's 5 days. It's the first day is Yom Tov. The last day is Yom Tov. And in between, there are five days of Chol Hamoed. Whereas on Sukkot, there are 6 days. First of all, it's interesting to be aware that there are 6 days. It's not 5 days. There's an additional day of Chol Hamoed, including which really is Hoshana Rabbah. But Hoshana Rabbah be'etzem is Chol Hamoed. So there's an additional day. And besides the fact that there's an additional day, every single day has a different set of korbanos. On the first day of Yom Tov, we start with 13 Purim, and every day we go down less, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, we go down every single day. And being that we go down, there's a different number every single day that makes each day unique and special in its own right. Therefore, when we say the Haftorah on Chol HaMoed Shabbos of Sukkot, in the Chasim and the Bracha that we conclude, I'll read you the Bracha that we conclude is different than the Bracha that we conclude on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Here the Bracha is, okay, Al HaTorah V'Al HaAvodah V'Al Levim V'Al Yoim. So here we have Hashabos Hazev V'Al Yoim Chag. Let's do May Pesach. V'Al Yoim Chag HaMatzos Hazev. Shnasat Olanu. Hashem Elokeinu L'Kdushav L'Mlucha. L'Sosoyin U'L'Simcha. L'Chol U'Sveres. Okay, Al Kol Hashem. Baruch Ato Hashem. M'Kadesh Yisrael Navahazmanim. Sorry, that's M'Kadesh Navahazmanim. That is on Yom Tov. Let me read you the instructions. Okay, what it says here in the art scroll. B'yom tov shechal b'me'achol oimrim. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's further. Sorry, I read the wrong instructions. B'yom tov v'af k'shechal b'shabes uv'shabes chol hamoyed sukkos mamshich kan. Only on Shabbos chol hamoyed sukkos do we conclude at the very end mikadesh hashabos Yisrael v'hazmanim. We mention the zman, but Pesach you don't do that. On Pesach you just say the ordinary bracha. Al ha'Torah v'al ha'Avodah v'al ha'Neviim v'al Yoim ha'Shabbos hazeh, and you do not mention the Yoim Chag ha'Matzos hazeh, and you do not conclude Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Hashabbos v'Yisrael v'Hazmanim. You do not do that. You just conclude Mekadesh Hashabbos. So again, on Pesach, there is no mention in the Haftorah, in the concluding bracha of the Haftorah, a mention of Pesach, of Yom Tov. You just conclude like an ordinary Shabbos. But on Sukkot, not only do you mention Shabbos, you also mention the fact that it is Yom Tov. Why? Because the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot is greater. It is more significant. It's more potent. And it demands that Shabbos Chol HaMoed Yom Tov be mentioned in the Bracha of the Haftarah.
What is the reason why it's more potent?
Because every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, there is a different carbon. The carbon is unique. So that's not the simon. That's
an indication. That's it.
You say correct. You say very good. Another reason you say the entire hallel every single day of Sukkot, and you don't say the entire hallel every day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. You say chatzi hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach, even on Shvi Shel Pesach.
Again, but that's a simon. Why? But it's not.
That's a whole different reasoning. Why?
You're referring to that? What are you referring to?
What I'm saying is, Pesach, it would have been a full challah, but it was reduced. But that doesn't take away from it.
Why was it reduced? Yeah. So that's good for the seventh day. That's not good for the Chol HaMoed. The reason why you only say Chatzis al Cholamon is because I think the same reason, because the korbanos are not unique. They are a repeat performance. So, Mr. Merulis, it's not just a simon. It's two sides of the coin. The fact that it's the same korban is an indication that the day is not it's significant. Let's not fool ourselves, but it's not as significant to the days of Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, where each day is unique in the fact that Torah demands you bring a different complement of korbanos.
So just by that fact, that's why it's called
unique. Mm-hmm. What makes something unique? What makes something important is uniqueness. We all know that.
Yeah, but there's no
why? So obviously it must be that we have to appreciate is that Sukkot is the end of a series. Pesach is the beginning. Shavuos is the middle. Sukkot is the end. It's a process. It's not all the same. When you look at the festivals in a very naive, a superficial way, three times a year Hashem told us to have a festival. We have a festival in the spring, we have a festival a month later, before the summer, and then we have another festival October. Three times a year. Oh, it's all the same. Three, the Sholosh Regalim. It's not. It is a procession. Klal Yisrael was established at the time of Pesach. They became more sophisticated. They were given the Torah. And then they became even more sophisticated. They were taken into Eretz Yisrael. The Sukkos represents the journey through the Midbar. The Dalet Minim represents the actual settlement of the land. These are represents the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. It's a process. It's a process of redemption. We were slaves. We were taken out of Egypt. Hashem gave us the Torah in the desert. And then Hashem guided us in the desert to reach our destination. Thus, when we come to the Yom Tov of Sukkot, it's not a repeat performance from Pesach. The Chol HaMoed of Sukkot is on a higher level than the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. And that's brought out very well. You do not say, you say a Halel Sholem. And number two, the Korbanos are unique every single day, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And look at the bracha of the Haftorah on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. It's the bracha of Yom Tov. We don't say the ordinary bracha that we say on Shabbos. We say the bracha that we say on Yom Tov. Not like Pesach, where we say on Chol HaMoed, for the Haftorah, the same bracha we say on a regular, ordinary Shabbos. Okay, let's go further. We have to move ahead. Okay, now, let's discuss a little bit about Hoshana Rabbah. Okay, let's discuss Hoshana Rabbah. This is a very unique day. It's the last day. It's the last day of the last day of Chol HaMoed. Hoshana Rabbah, our tradition tells us that it's a Yom HaDin. It is a day of judgment. It's a day of judgment for Geshem. And there are really two days of judgment. It's not so clear which is the Iker day of judgment. Is it Hoshana Rabbah or is it Shemini Atzeres? Okay, I don't know. I don't have a good answer. There's overlap. We do things on Hoshana Rabbah, indicating that it is a day of din. It's a day of, it's a Yom HaDin. It's a very serious day. On the other hand, Shemini Atzeres is also a day of judgment. And we recite Tfilas Geshem. Okay, in Shemini Atzeres, the korbanos of Shemini Atzeres are identical to the korbanos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There are 3 days a year where the korban musaf is exactly the same. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shemini Atzeres. So what does that tell you? That these 3 days are part of a set. Okay, they're part of a set. The chut ha-meshulash loy b'mehera yinotik. Part of a set. But on the other hand, Hoshana Rabbah, which has part of a series of korbanos that go down Chol HaMoed, it's different. It's a weekday, but yet on Hoshana Rabbah we have a very long davening. The shatz wears a kittel, and we do Hoshanas. We do things, we say these very elaborate prayers, indicating that it's a Yom HaDin. We're praying for rain. And rain is symbolic of parnasa, sustenance. So it's a very holy day. The overlap, I don't have clarity. Obviously, there are different dimensions between Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres. It's something which we have to come back to one day and try to analyze and to clearly understand exactly what is the difference between Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres. At face value, it seems to be they're exactly the same. They're coming to accomplish exactly the same thing. It's a Yom HaDin, a day of judgment for rain. Rain of the following year, which represents sustenance, parnasa, food, crops, and all that goes along with it. Why do we have 2 days? What's the difference between Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeres? This is a very difficult question, which I do not have an answer for at this moment.
I never understood Hoshana Rabbah until 1 year we rented out the Hasidim. I think it's the Gera Hasidim on Ocean Avenue. They were reconstructing their shul, maybe in some place in the valley. I could tell from them that it was a Yontif. They came and they said Tillim, and they said Mishnah Torah, and they had a Suda, and they were all dressed Yontifik and so on. Like this, I went to work on the Shana Rabba. I didn't understand it, I didn't appreciate it, but.
Yes, it's a very big thing. Indeed so. By Hasidim, it's a very, very holy day.
I once went to Hoshana Rabbah. I was at Munkach, and they didn't finish till about 3 in the afternoon.
It's impressive.
It was a lot. Yeah,
I heard that it's the Yom Tov for the Pasha Yid.
The Arava.
The
simple person. Okay? It's a very mystical holiday. Very mystical day. What does that mean? Heaven? Heaven what?
Heaven splits.
Okay, whatever this is. It's very mystical. I really don't know. Let's discuss some of the very unique minhagim, and maybe we'll gain a little bit of appreciation of what it's about. First thing is, what do you do at night? The night of Hoshana Rabbah. So there are different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. By Hasidim, there's a minhag to read Mishnah Torah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you can find a lot of places today. It's very hard to sit. It takes about not less than an hour and 15 minutes. People, a lot of the professional Balei Kriya is when they like to shine, like to show off on Hoshana Rabbah. The professional Balei Kriya, and it's always a race. Who can finish? I mean, it's chaval, that's what it's come to. It's just a day to the Olympics. Okay? To brag who can make less mistakes and can finish quicker. It's very hard to sit today, especially today's day and age when no one has patience even to sit and listen to someone for literally 10 seconds. To go sit in shul for an hour and at least you cannot do, it's impossible to do Mishnah Torah in less than an hour and 10 minutes. Impossible. Just impossible. Okay, some people, not professionals, it could take up to 2 hours. Okay, it's a long time to sit in shul to listen 2 hours. I once went to a shul, I saw the rabbi, and the rabbi has no patience. He probably has less patience than anyone in the whole shul. And he was basically walking around. He was basically making hakafas during the reading of Mishnah Torah because he has a hard time. So I guess that was the way he was coping. But there's a minhag Yisrael to read Mishnah Torah. What's the meaning? Why? I don't know. I really don't know where it comes from. Why Mishnah Torah? The end of the Torah. Okay, obviously, Mishnah Torah that was read by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim in the afternoon. Hakel, they read Mishnah Torah. I take it back, I'm not so sure that's correct. On Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol, Hakel. Hakel, the Melech read Mishnah Torah. The Melech had a Sefer Torah strapped to his arm. Some hold that the Sefer Torah strapped to the arm of the Melech was not the entire Torah. It was Mishnah Torah. There are different opinions in this matter. So only thing that we can take from this, only thing is that every Jew, I think what you want, the idea is, if you want, we go with the focus on Mishnah Torah, every Jew is a king. Kol b'nei Yisrael melachim. Every Jew is a melech. And the fact that you go to shul, those who do this minhag, who go to shul, Hoshana Rabbah, and they listen to the entire Mishnah Torah, that means you're behaving like a king. Because the king has strapped to his arm Mishnah Torah, and the pasuk says, V'koru bo kol yimei chayav. He shall read from what it says on his arm, from this Sefer Torah, which according to many is just the Mishnah Torah, all the days of his life. On Hoshana Rabbah, every single simple Jew is upgraded to the status of a melech. We once discussed this regarding Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah is a very unique halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It says that a person should get a haircut Erev Rosh Hashanah. Oh, very nice. And what about Erev Pesach? And what about Erev Sukkot? And what about all the other festivals? You get a haircut when you need to get a haircut. What is this that the Shulchan Aruch has to tell us? No. There's a very special inyan, a very special matter. Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to the barber. Now today most of us don't do this because the lines are out the door. It's very, very hard. You don't want to wait for the last minute. It's hard enough, those who go to mikvah, to wait online. And it's long enough, all the preparations. But there is such a thing. There are people who actually do this. That they go and they get a haircut specifically Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why? So I don't know why. It says Shulchan Aruch.
I'm guessing that maybe Yosef was came out by
that's
Galach.
By Galach, correct. And it goes a step further. It's all related. A melech gets a haircut every single day. A melech, that is the halacha. The halacha is a melech, if you're a king, a king has a barber, every single day he gets a haircut. I don't know what there's to cut. But that's what it says. Especially if he's bald.
What?
Whatever it is, I don't know what I have no idea what this means. The Gemara says the hair goes from one root to the other. I don't think we know what this means. Okay, the people that are very honest will tell you we don't know what this means. It's a very mysterious Maimer Chazal that each hair should be able to bend to its next root. What does that mean? Excuse me? The words, I can translate the words, but what? What does that mean exactly? We don't really know what this means, but it seems that a melech, one thing that is unique about a melech gets a haircut every single day. Erev Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, every single Jew is a melech. A melech is judged every single day. We have Rosh Hashanah once a year. A melech is subject to mishpat in Shemayim every single day. Every single day a melech is a Yom Hadin. In essence, on Rosh Hashanah, it's not that, we're judged. On Rosh Hashanah, every single person becomes a king. And if you're a king, you're in trouble now. You're going to be subject to judgment. If you're a king, you'd get a haircut. It's a whole different way of looking at what Rosh Hashanah is all about. On Rosh Hashanah, what do? We declare Hashem to be the melech. Hashem reciprocates. If you're making me your melech, Hashem is very gracious. I make you a melech. Mamleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh. Klal Yisrael are all b'nei melochem. Shmini Hoshana Rabbah is also an extension of that principle of the Yimei Hadin, that we are all kings. And when a person is a king, what happens when you're a king? You have a Sefer Torah. And what does it say in your Sefer Torah? It's Mishnah Torah. And what's the Mishnah Torah? The Karubo Kol Yemei Chayav. You read what it says. You have to read for Mishnah Torah. Okay, that is one. What is one minhag? Another minhag is to say Tehillim. The Hoshana Rabbah. Who is the Ushpizin of Hoshana Rabbah?
No.
David HaMelech. What did David HaMelech compose? Sefer Tehillim. And therefore we pay homage to David HaMelech, and what do? We recite the entire Tehillim. is it appropriate to take out a sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh to read? Not so simple. That you allowed to, that the Hasidim... What?
You can, if you want to learn from a sefer Torah, you should take it out right now.
Not so simple. Okay, Enechanami, but when you read Bitzibur, when you read a Sefer Torah Bitzibur, you have to make a Baruchah. And if Chazal did not tell you to make a Baruchah, so what are you doing? This is the big argument not to have a special laning for women, for Parsha Zocha. Because what right do you have to lane publicly from a Sefer Torah? If you want to lane publicly from a Sefer Torah, you need to have 10 people. Once you have 10 people, you need to make a bracha. But Chazal didn't give you permission to make a bracha now, today. You already made a bracha today in the morning. Not permission. So it's a catch-22. Whatever you do is no good. If you take out the Sefer Torah, you have to have a minyan. If you have a minyan, you have to make a bracha. But Chazal said you can't make a bracha. So that is why there are many who are misnagged. They oppose what many shuls do today and have a special reading for women for Parsha Zohar. I heard my only Japan, Zechasak Levracha, I heard him make a macha. He said it's Shaloi Kedim. You're not allowed to do this, to have a special reading for women on Parshas Zohar. All the shuls do it. Hey, all the shuls, B'li Yitzim Naklal. They do. The yeshivas don't do it, but the shuls do it. What should you do instead? A woman can read it from a chumash. You'd say Parsha Zohar, reading it from a chumash. You don't have to read it from a Sefer Torah. It's all the same. You can read it from a chumash. It's the same mitzvah. So many argue, and among them is Rav Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and Yibadol L'chaim, L'chaim, the son-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky, hold that it's Shaloi Kedin to lane Mishneh Torah from a Sefer Torah. He goes, they both go up against all of the Hasidim. This is real misnagdim here. This is misnagdim at their best.
Right.
Rav Eliashiv, Yibadol L'chaim, L'chaim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, holds that it's Shaloi Kedin, what the Hasidim do, and they lay Mishneh Torah from a Sefer Torah. It comes from an Arizal. The Arizal does not mention anywhere a Sefer Torah. He didn't write anything. Arizal didn't write anything. He's told me he wrote. It's not mentioned in the Kisvei Arizal that you're supposed to use a Sefer Torah. Instead, you should read it yourself from a Chumash. And that's what he, and also he holds that, also while you're in the shul, you should be in the sukkah. Spend every moment you have in the sukkah. So what Rav Chaim Kanievsky does, what it says is, even though he's not chassid, he does do the minhag of Mishneh Torah. He does it himself. He sits in the sukkah and he reads Hoshana Rabbah, the entire Mishneh Torah, by himself from a chumash, and then he says the entire Sefer Tehillim.
Wow,
that's what it says. That's what he does. That's what he does, and he said that's the best way you're supposed to do Hoshana Rabbah. You should do both of these minhagim. It's a very serious day. It's Yom HaDin. Instead of surfing the web, spend your time in the sukkah saying Mishneh Torah and Sefer Tehillim. Listen, yeah.
Those people who lane Sefer Dvarim, they don't make any bracha on
it. No, of course not.
No.
Of course not.
Someone just gets up and reads.
Yeah.
Somebody, yeah.
I would love to do this.
Yeah.
I always I always try to find a place. No one wants me. Because it's got a lot of competition out there. All the Balei Kriya, they like to show off. This is the day for the Balei Kriya. The problem is they don't have an audience. They talk to themselves. Because who wants to come and listen? Who wants to come for 2 hours? What? No, very few are full. Very, very few. We barely have. I don't even have a minion. Some shuls I have. The Mishnah Torah. No, they don't do it. They don't do it. Litvax wouldn't do this.
Tehillim.
They say the whole Sefer Tehillim. They go, whoever wants to come, they come. They go to the sukkah. They have the sukkah.
At least 100 people. Basically.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm there every year.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay, I don't know that. 100 people, so many, yeah?
At least.
100 people come to the sukkah?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what time?
They start 9 o'clock. About 9.
9 o'clock.
And they finish time. About, I think, 12:01.
Whoa, wow.
What?
Wow. I used to do it an hour and a half.
No, I don't think it's...
There's a shatz? There's a shlech tzibur? Who goes...
There's somebody who says it like louder. You know, he's
Who David Thor? Who does it? Who does it? I would imagine David Thor would be the one who does it. Was he the one who does it?
No, he's not the one.
Well, Fry, are you ready to do this year?
No. Not to Tehillim.
No, Mishnah Torah.
Yeah, but not Tehillim.
Okay, I'll get you.
No, don't we? Where? Where? Yankee does it there. What, are you kidding?
No, Yankee never does it.
Of course he does it. This is his thing.
No, someone else does.
I don't. Don't look for trouble. I'm not looking to push displace someone.
What about Kehillah?
I was once there with you. Remember, I came there and the guy showed up. I was there with you. Why was I there with you? There was no one there. I remember I was there with you in Poznan for one reason, I don't know why, and then the guy showed up and there was no one there. And I left so quickly.
What about
Kehillah? I wish. I can't find a place. Okay, let's go further.
There's another safer. There's a Tikkun Leil Shavuos.
The Tikkun Leil Shavuos.
No, and Hoshana Rabba too. It's in the same book.
Okay.
And it's just gotten out of favor. And you, I'm Tikkun Leil Shavuos, the Hadith says it. Even less so on
Tikkun Hoshana Rabba. Hoshana, the special Tikkun for Hoshana Rabba?
Virtually every Tikkun Leil Shavuos, the second half.
Has a Tikkun Hoshana, and what's there? I never saw it.
It's pretty similar stuff.
Interesting. I never heard this before. I never saw, but these are...
From Chamisha Chum Shetara, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim, so on.
Just like what you do on Shavuos. Similar. Very, very interesting. I didn't see this many. I never heard of this before. Okay, live and learn. All right, in any event, these are the two popular minhagim that you do at night, and somehow the minhag bedavka to stay up the whole night. There's a minhag to stay up the whole night. Okay, that's the ikar zman to stay up the whole night is when? The only time that you mechuyev to stay up the whole night, you actually obligated to stay up the whole night is when? Lil Pesach, which no one does. After four cups, after Shulchan Aruch, and four cups of wine, you're knocked out. It's lethal. Lethal. Four cups of wine with a meal, with a Shulchan Aruch, knocks you out. But it's a minhag. It's a minhag to stay up Shavuos. But I think it's a more important minhag to stay up Leil Hoshana Rabba. So interesting how we have all of our priorities out of order. If you want to stay up one night a year, you should be staying up Leil Pesach. If you want to stay up two nights a year, you should be staying up Leil Pesach and Leil Hoshana Rabba. If you want to stay up three nights a year, help your wife. Clean up Pesach. Okay, but if you want to stay up three nights a year, you stay up Leil Shavuos. It's the least priority. It's the least, and yet for some reason we have our priorities out of order. Oh, everyone stays up Leil Shavuos. Rabbi Sai, please, could we have, I don't want to get out of hand, the decorum, please. Okay, let's go to, now there's another thing, that's another minute that's done on the night of Hoshana Rabba, and it says this in the Ramah, and all of the Paiskim say, don't you dare do this, because you don't know what, no one knows, you don't know what you're doing. And it means absolutely nothing. Go outside, and hopefully it'll be a clear night, and the moon will be Betokfai. It's already the 20th day. Hoshana Rabba is the 20th day of the month. Well, it's not Betokfa, it's a little bit waned, just a bit. The moon is a full moon on the 15th day, so it's 5 days after the full moon. And you stand and see, look at your shadow. See if you can see the moon's light will cast its light upon you. It will produce a shadow, and you have to see. You look at your shadow. Now, what exactly you do when you look at your shadow? I'm not exactly sure what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to measure. You're supposed to measure the shadow, and that will indicate if the person will live this year. Okay? That's what it says in the Ramah. And people would do this, and some people would fail the test and get very depressed. And it would trigger depression, it would trigger a whole series of very bad things which were never meant to be. And therefore, all of the Gedolei HaPosek can say, don't you dare. This is in Yoni Kabbalah, we don't know what this means, we don't know how to do it, and it borders on Chukos HaEmori, and a person should stay far away from this idea. I vaguely remember that I read a very beautiful, very good sefer. You want to get a good sefer? It's a Gerer by Glatstein or by Daniel Glatstein. The article published a fantastic collection of his shiurim. on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and there he has a very beautiful drush, a machshava, what it means if a person can see his shadow on Hoshana Rabbah. And basically the gist is, Hoshana Rabbah, you have to ask yourself, have I been affected from the whole holiday season? You know, life goes by very quick. You have 30 days of Elul. Did you do anything? Did you make any changes? Just a nuisance to listen to the shofar after davening was over. And then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, the Aser Simei Teshuvah, go through Sukkot. It was a big burden. And now all of a sudden you find yourself holding by Hoshana Rabbah. And, you know, it's just, nothing has changed. It's not a good sign. But if an Hoshana Rabbah, it already, the cumulative effect of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, now it's the litmus test. Do you feel the shade? Do you feel the moon represents Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechinah? Did you do Kiddush Levana last night? Kiddush Levana is Kabbalah's Pnei, Kabbalah's. You did a mitzvah Yom Kippurim? Wow, pretty good. Pretty good.
15 seconds was
the one. Wow, it's a good simon. It's a good simon. So therefore, you do Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana represents Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina. Yachbi'enu b'tzel yodoy. What do we say at Ne'ilah? Hashem, shelter us in the shadow of your hand. Hashem Shechina is the Levana. Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina is Levana. The Levana produces tzel. That represents that we are sheltered in Hashem's presence. Hoshana Rabbah, it's the end of the season. It's over. One more day left. Did it make a difference? Did this whole period of time, did it have any impact on your life? Ask yourself that question. And if the answer is yeah, it did make a difference in my life, you're in good shape. If you don't see the shade, meaning the whole season pass you over, then it is not a good sign. Okay, that is a drush, a machshava from Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. That's pretty much the gist of what he says in his Sefer, what it means, what this meaning is all about. But to literally go outdoors and do it, don't do it. Don't do this. So we have already three minhagim on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, Mishneh Torah, Tehillim, and the Tzel. And really, four minhagim is to stay up the whole night. Stay up the whole night doing what? I guess, in whatever you do. Learning, saying Tehillim, Mishneh Torah, just to be up the whole night to take it all in. To take it all in the last night. You know, L'Havdil Elif Alfi Avdolos, there's a minhag by the President of the United States. Do you know this minhag? The last night of their presidency, they stay up the whole night in the Oval Office. Do you ever hear this?
No.
Read up on it.
They sleep in Lincoln's bed.
They do that also, but read up on this is what they do the last night before, when is it, January 20th? When is the inauguration of the new president? They stay up the whole night to savor the Oval Office, the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the world, the free world. Destroying all the evidence. Okay? It's what did Nixon? He didn't get there. Nixon didn't make it to the last day. They stay up there. So I read about this. Clinton, what he did the last night. They sit there in the Oval Office. They look around. Here I am. 8 years, all of this power, and tomorrow, nothing, nothing. No one could care less what you have to say. You say, what's the Truman said? Truman, after the inauguration, he said, an hour ago, if I would say something, it would travel around the whole world. The whole world wanted to hear what I had to say. The whole world. And now?
Not even his wife.
No one could care less. No one can care less. It's the office of the presidency. So they would, to savor, you know, there's what to learn. Chochma v'umar istamin. If the President of the United States stays up the whole night in the Oval Office to savor those last moments, how much more so should we savor The tzila din hem nusa. Rabbi, please, can we have some decorum? How much worse are the tzila din hem nusa? The tzila din hem nusa, should we savor those last moments of Sukkot, stay up the entire night of Sukkot? Four minhagim for the night of Hashanah Rabbah. Okay, the morning of Hashanah Rabbah, what are the minhagim? We have a nusach of tzila that is just like Yom Tov, with the exception of what? We do not say nishmas kol chai. Why not? The Mishnah Berurah says there's no neshama yisera. Don't get carried away. Even though it's a Yom Tov, there's no neshama yisera. So therefore, the way we allude, there's no neshama yisera. We do not say nishmas, but we say the pesuk of the zimra of Yom Tov. Okay, it's a very obvious. We do all the things like we do on Yom Tov.
You say
mizmor l'sayid. We say, well, why not? Why can't you say mizmor l'sayid? You bring a carbon toyda. Is there any reason why you can't say mizmor l'sayid? Pesach. Wait a minute. Wait. Pesach. Right. You have to say mizmor. Right. You have to add in mizmor l'sayid on Hashanah Rabbah. Exactly. Even though we said the nusach of psuki the zimra, but since it's chol, you can't bring a carbon toida, so you have to add into the nusach mizmor l'sayid. Correct. You have to add that in.
Right.
It says nistum to add in. Okay. Now what else? Then we do the regular whole 9 yards of the nusach of Shabbos with the Shema Yisrael and whatever we normally do. Okay, then we have Hallel. Now there's a minog that the Dalet Minam, this is a Chassidish minog. Some a lot of people do this, is that you take off the rings from your lulav. Okay, you have on your lulav, how many rings do you put on the lulav? Some put two, some put three. Different Hagim. Three or two? What?
Five?
I never heard that before. Okay, five, whatever it is. You have on your lulav rings. Right, you're supposed to have at least, don't put it all the way to the top, you're supposed to be able to shake. On Hashanah Rabbah, there is a minog to remove, everybody say please, to remove the rings. Why? There are Rimazim Kapois, Tamarim Kapois is spelled with a Vav, or without a Vav, I don't remember. The Vav means only 6 days do we want the Tamarim to be Kapois, to be tied together. After about the seventh day of Sukkot, the rings come off. When do you take off the rings? Where I've davened, they only take off the rings for the last hakafa. They keep the rings on for Hallel. They keep the rings on for the Hashan. When they do Hashanis. When they come to the last, here, boys, please, no talking, please. Only important questions. When we come to the last Hashana, the last hakafa, before you do the last hakafa, the rings come off. This, some take them off even for Hallel. Some take them off or for the Hashanahs. There are many different minhagim. Each person follows their custom. Or some only take off one ring. And another reason why you take off the ring is because being that the purpose of shaking the lulav is to hold back bad winds that are damaging, that can cause harm. Hashanah Rabbah, we're very desperate. We pull out the big guns. And we want the lulav to shake a lot to make sure that the winds that are damaging, that are sakana, should be withheld, and we should have a good year. Okay, next. How many sifrei Torah do we bring to the Bima for on Hashanah Rabbah when we do our kafis? I've only seen in my life one sefer Torah, no different than every single day of Sukkot. But he cites here by Tezner that there are many people who have the minute they take out all of the sifrei Torah from the Aron HaKodesh. Take them all out. You seen that?
Seen that, yeah.
Where you see that? Baltimore, they do that?
Yeah.
In Neri Yisrael, they do that?
I've seen that in my shul.
Very interesting. Okay, we have an Eidos. Such a,
I think Rabbi Skula takes.
They take out all of the Sifrei Torah. They stand by the Bima. Some have been only take out the kosher Sifrei. It's very interesting. Allah, only the kosher. The difference between this is a very, very interesting idea. A difference between Simchas Torah and Hashanah Rabbah. What's the difference? On Simchas Torah, you take out all the Sifrei Torah, including those that are apostle. On Hashanah Rabbah, you only take out the kosher Sifrei Torah. The non-kosher Sifrei Torah, you leave in the Aron. The kosher, you take out, you bring to... Now, that's not our custom in this community. We've never seen this. In this community, I've only seen you take out one Sefer Torah, like all the other days of Chol HaMoed, and you go around the Bima 7 times. Next.
What should one do with the Pesach sacred Torah? Preferably
keep it in the Aron Kodesh. If there's enough room, If there is an offering when it's not a matter of space, keep it in the Aron Kodesh. It's good for, it's nice, open up the Aron Kodesh, it's a full Kedusha. Luchos, v'shivrei luchos munochos ba'aron. So the proper thing is, that's possible, it's called shivrei luchos. And just like the shivrei luchos were in the Aron, the Sifrei Torah, that our apostle should be in the Aron HaKodesh. When it gets to a point when there's no room in the Aron HaKodesh, or let's say it's so decayed where it's crumbling, or there are other issues, then it has to be buried. But if it's not an issue, you can leave it. It would be ideal to leave it in the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, next. Ani, is it Ani Vaho Hoshiano or Ani Vahu Hoshiano? You say it many, many times. Ani Vaho, there are different minhag minuk Ashkenaz, Ani Vaho. And minuk Sfard is Ani Vahu Hoshiano. Oh, Ani Vaho. If you want to be yeshivish, it's Hoy. Okay, the yeshivish. I grew up in the modern world, I said Ani is Oh. And then I came into the yeshiva world, it's Oy. I do bar mitzvah lessons, I have to teach the boys oy, because that's what they want to have. If I have an opportunity to lane, so they want to hear oy. They don't want to hear oh. So I have to train myself to say oy, because you have to satisfy the customer. The customer is always right, even though they're wrong. Okay. So, whatever, that's a big debate. I think it's pasha that it's o, it's not oi, but some will tell you. Now, I have a relative who's very, very right wing, and he has a whole long list of proofs that it's really oi and not o. I don't know what he's talking about, but if it makes it happy, so good for you.
I think if it ends just that's the last syllable, it's o, but if it's more, there's a yod and a mem, then it becomes oi.
I don't know. Okay, that's a chiddush. I never heard that before, but okay.
The RJJ Journal, there was a whole tshuva on different accents. Many years ago, I read it on the plane, that it said that, you know, the Hasidish pronunciation at least is better than the Israelis, the way they pronounce words, which is even worse. A lot of words. Yeah, I mean, he gave proof
all right.
For every
it's a different topic. It's a whole different topic of discussion, not for now. Let's go further.
Yeah.
Okay, next. At the end of a Shanas, what do? We take the Arava, we bang the Arava. How many times do you bang the Arava? On the ground, five times. That's it. Don't do six. Five times. Okay, you bang it. Now, is there? I didn't know this until this year. The Mishnah Berurah says, I thought that you bang it five times, and that's it. When I was a child, I grew up in young Israel, people would bang it violently on the chairs. They didn't bang it on the floor. They banged it on the chairs violently. How many times? 50 times. I don't know, until all the leaves fell off. So I got older and I learned halach, and I said this amaratzis. Okay, Rabbi said, please, please. I said to myself, this is just a matter of the people didn't know what they were doing, the amaratzis. So you live and learn. It wasn't amaratzis. The Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to do both. The Mishnah Berurah says you're supposed to bang it on the floor five times. Five times. When you bang on the floor five times, you don't have to go bang it violently. There's an inyan to bang the arava on the floor five times. There's also an inyan that the leaves should come off. Not every leaf, but some of the leaves should come off. Today, in the society that we live in, our floors are finished. And when you bang the aravas on the floor, they're not going to come off. They're not going to come off. So the Mishnah Berurah says, first, be mekayem the ikar minug, bang the aravas on the floor five times. And that's it. There's an inyan five. There's all Kabbalah. I have no idea. No one tells you why. What? No one tells you why five times. You have five. Aravos all bound together. You bang it five times on the floor. These are Yoni Kabbalah. They're very nice. Drushim. Maybe we'll discuss some of these things later on. But this is what the minhag Kabbalah comes from the Nevi'im. This is what we do. After you bang five times, being that the leaves are still pretty much intact, you can then, the Mishnah Berurah says, bang it on a kli, on a utensil, which I am assuming in the shuls they abuse the chairs, the furniture, which I'm not so sure is always a good idea. Don't damage the shul's furniture. Okay, don't destroy the shul furniture. To bang it on a utensil so that the leaves should also come off. So there are really two sets of banging. You bang it on the floor five times, to mekayim the minig, the ikar minig, And then if the leaves are still intact, then you should bang it a little bit on a chair, on something, not on your friend, and not on your wife. You bang it a little bit, that some of the leaves should come off, because that's also an inyan of the arava. And then what do you do with it? You throw it, the minhag is to throw it on top of the Aron HaKodesh. Some have that minhag to do so, some take it home to your family, and everyone in the family should take it and should bang it on the floor 5 times, bang it on a chair to remove some of the leaves. Okay, that's the minhag of Hashanahs. I'm sorry, what?
Throwing it on top of the sukkah?
No, I never seen that. Top of the aron. You throw on top of the aron, there are yonim, one is at the back, that's a minhag.
What's the reason for that banging?
The banging? That's a long, big topic of discussion. Whatever, there are different ideas. But let's leave it now. I want to just throw some more yonim halacha. We're running out of time. Okay, then there's the Indian to have a su'udah. It's supposed to, it's a yomtif, and after you finish the hishanis, you're out 7 times, and you say the whole the tefillah, and you bang 5 times. There's a very nice thing to have a su'udah on Hoshana Rabbah, but not to eat too much, so that you enter into the Yom Tov at night, Shemiyat Seres B'Te'avon. You should have an appetite. Okay, now there's an now on Shemiyat, let's go to Shemiyat Seres. Shemiyat Seres, do you sit in the sukkah, or do you not sit in the sukkah? Okay, there's an age-old debate. What's the issue? Now, everyone agrees you're not going to take the Dalet Minim on Shemiyat Seres. Why not? If you can eat in the sukkah, why would you eat in the sukkah on Shemiyat Seres? What's the reason why you would eat in the sukkah on Shemiyat Seres? Sveikah d'yoma. We have minhag avoseinu b'yodeinu, that maybe, just like we had 2 days of Yom Tov, so maybe the 8th day is really the 7th day, and you're obligated to sit in the sukkah on day 8. That is the reason why the minhag of Ashkenazim, that is why the minhag is, those who sit in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres because of Sveika Diyoma. Now question, if that is correct, so why don't we take Lul of an Esroig on Shemini Atzeres? The same way it is Sveika, it's very important you say to appreciate. If you understand this answer, you understand a lot about Yom Tov. The same way we have Sveika Diyoma on Shemini Atzeres, and many of us sit in the sukkah, by a raise of hands, who sits in sukkah on Shemini Atzeres? Very curious. Anyone who sits in sukkah? Most of you sit in the sukkah? Your kiddush is in the sukkah. What? What?
You make a
puzzle. No, there is such a thing. Yeah. There is such a thing. You make a puzzle sukkah. There is such a thing. Okay, that's it. What? It's a big, big topic. Not for now, but many people do have the custom that they eat in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres. Question, if you're eating in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres because steak of the yomo, so why don't you take Dalet Minim? Why don't you take the Lulav and Eshrog on Shemini Atzeres? So here's the answer. The answer is, first of all, there's 2 answers. First of all, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on the 6 days of Sukkos is only midrabanan. It is not a deoraisa. The only day when you have an obligation to take the Lulav and Eshrog is the first day. That's it. The remaining 6 days are only midrabanan. Therefore, on a midrabanan, on a derabanan, you don't do a sveika d'yom on a derabanan. But Sukkos is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. We have minig avoseinu biodenu. We go in the sukkah for a d'oraisa on the 8th day. Number two. The reason is because there's a problem. The problem is bal toisef. It's one thing when you want to go do sveika d'yom. But when it borders on Bal Tosef, you are adding to the mitzvahs that is forbidden. You're not allowed to do something more than what the Torah tells you. The Torah only told you to take the lulav and esrog 1 day. So don't take it. Taking it more than you are required is bal toisef. Sitting in the sukkah, if you're not obligated to do so, it is bal toisef. Now, when it comes to sukkah, it's not such a problem. Because I'm not sitting in the sukkah because I'm doing a mitzvah. It's my patio. Many people like to have a barbecue outdoors on the porch. So sitting in a sukkah, it's not obvious that you are in violation of Baal Tosef. That you're adding. Because what am I doing? It's a beautiful day. It's hot inside. I want to go outside, and it's much more comfortable to sit outside. Now the problem, though, is let's say it's pouring rain, or let's say it's freezing cold, or let's say there are a million mosquitoes in your sukkah, or it's just really not comfortable to be in the sukkah. So then you can no longer say, "Oh, I'm not in violation of Baal Tosef." So that is why in Shmini Atzeres, if there is any small degree of mitzta'er, you're not allowed to eat in the sukkah, because then it appears that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah, and being that we today are experts in the calendar, and it's also, he said, there's one other element that I forgot to mention. Rosh Hashanah. Do we blow shofar for the second day Rosh Hashanah? Yes. Why? Seika d'yoma. But the thing, you are not violating someone else's airspace. Because what is the second day of Tishrei? It's another ordinary day. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzma. It's its own day. So what right do you have, Mitzadecha, today is Shmini Atzeres? I make a special Kiddush. And I say, Yom Chag HaShmini Atzeres Hazeh. There's a special set of korbanos. And on Shmini Atzeres, you're taking a lulav and etzring. And on Shmini Atzeres, you're sitting in the sukkah. That is Baal Tosef. If you take, you have a second day, like 2 days Rosh Hashanah, 2 days Shavuos. There's really no mitzvah. If you're going to do a mitzvah 2 days in a row and you're not violating someone else's airspace, so to speak, that's not called Baal Tosef. But here, when today is a day, Shmini Atzeres is established to be a Yom Tov, it's Shmini Atzeres, and on this day, you're going, you're doing mitzvahs that don't belong on this day, that's a big problem. So therefore, to go and take your lulav v'neshek on Shmini Atzeres, what in the world are you doing? If it's Shmini Atzeres, what are you taking Dalet Minim? That's Baal Tosef. Sit in the sukkah, it's a beautiful day outside, I want to go sit in the patio. So it's not Baal Tosef. But if there is an element of tzad because it's very cold outside, or the mosquitoes, or some reason why it's obvious you wouldn't be sitting in the sukkah, no way. The only reason why you're here is because you're doing the mitzvah. That is a real problem about tzad, then you should indeed not be in the sukkah.
Americans or in Israel?
That's a very big topic of discussion.
The ones who keep the 2 days
should... Yes. If their custom, no. If your custom, it all depends what your custom is. If you are an Israeli, if you are an American, and you are visiting Eretz Yisrael, and you're from the camp of Jews who observe 2 days of Seika D'yoma in Eretz Yisrael, if you're from that machane. Okay, that itself is a big controversial, became today a big controversy. I don't know what happened, but it became a big controversy. Then yes, and is your custom to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Yes, you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. That's right. If it's your custom, if you're from that machane who observes 2 days Yom Tov, yes, if you're from that who are going to observe today, you follow all of your customs. Yes, absolutely. There's no difference. Okay, today, many Israelis, they get very insulted and they put in a lot of pressure that if you're in our land, you observe 1 day. How dare you? It's an insult to the land. They exert a lot of pressure and they cite many poskim who hold that to be correct. And they ignore that traditionally that was not accepted, that opinion. They're both valid opinions. And they squeeze your, they make you feel that you are irreligious by observing 2 days Yom Tov, and you are insulting the sanctity of the land. Okay, there are many poskim that actually say that, but that's a new thing. It used to be traditionally Jews who were guests in Eretz Yisrael and do not own any property and are not planning to make Aliyah anytime soon, would follow a list of Poskim who hold that when a Ben Chutz Li'aretz visits Eretz Yisrael, he should observe 2 days. Okay, this is not for now.
That was day and a half.
That's a new thing. It's also a new thing. Rav Herschel Shafter made that popular. A day and a half. That's a new thing. Okay, Chadoshim Labakarim. All right. Okay, we're out of time. Let's jump. Shmini Atzeres, we say Yiskar. Okay, we don't forget to say Yiskar. The ideal thing Rabbi Yisrael used to give money is the best thing is, it says in the Sfarim, that when a person gives money for the Mesim have incredible timing. We don't know what this means. We always say that they never came back to tell us what's going on over there. But it says in the big books is that when you give money to Tzedakah, Lezecher, the Niftarim, it gives them an incredible Sipuk Hanah that we have no clue. And that's what Yiskur is all about. Before Yiskur, there's an appeal to give money in the Sechus. The money should go to the credit of the Niftarim. And thus, the ideal thing is to give the money before Shmini Atzeres. And if you do so, you can then change the Nusach and say, you say, Yizkul Kimes Nishmas, and you the Nusach, instead of saying, Beli Neder, I will give, I've already given. Shenosati. Ba'avur shenosati mamon litztaka. Ba'avuran. You can change the nusach. I have already given the money. It's in the bag. It's in the bag. You don't need to get involved in making nedarim, a beli neder, this neder. You've done it. You've given the money. The money's already been given. And therefore, that is to your satisfaction. And it's certainly, with the emunah that we have, it's something to the satisfaction. Okay, this we say geshem. I never knew this, but it's very interesting, is that in Eretz Yisrael, Minagra, not, you don't announce this anywhere in America, anywhere, even those who claim they do Minagra, is that they recite Tfilas Geshem before the silent Shemona Esrei. Our minig in virtually every single shul you've been at is, you say the silent Shemona Esrei, and then the shatz begins with the nigun of the Yomim Noiro, the nigun, the special nigun for Geshem, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then after he says the first bracha, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Afberi.
Afberi.
And then he goes into the Nusach. In Minagrod, it seems that Eretz Yisrael is very popular in Yerushalayim. It seems like everyone, that's what he writes, everyone does this, is that you don't do it part of the Shemona Esrei. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu is said before you begin the silent Shemona Esrei. The Shliach Tzibur does not say Baruch Atah, does not say the first bracha. He says it first. After Ashrei, they open up the Oroin, and he begins Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, and he recites the Nusach, Afperi, and they conclude, Ki Atahu Hashem, Mashif Haruach HaMoret HaGeshem, L'chayim, the entire Nusach, and that is the announcement that you shall now begin saying Mashiv Haruach Moirid HaGeshem. In America, we don't do that. In America, you say Kaddish, and then they give a clap, the shatz calls out Mashiv Haruach Moirid HaGeshem, and everyone begins, everyone, B'li Yotzim and Akal, you begin saying Mashiv Haruach Moirid HaGeshem in the silent Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, when it comes to Tal, there are different minhagim for different reasons. But when it comes to Geshem, everyone agrees that you begin to say Mash Shavuach Moed HaGeshem when you begin the silent Shemona Esrei, and the Shatz makes an announcement. And in Eretz Yisrael, not only do they make an announcement, they actually recite the entire Nusach in advance.
It means a lot to them, maybe Geshem in Eretz
Yisrael. Yeah, well, it means a lot to us also. Geshem doesn't just mean rain. Geshem means Parnassah. Parnassa, everyone needs Parnassa.
What happens if they don't make the announcement?
Doesn't matter. If they forget to make the that you're still supposed to say Mashiv Haruach HaMoed HaGeshem in the silent Shemona Esrei. Okay, then we come to Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a beautiful minig. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Simchas Torah is a beautiful, goes back about 400 years. The minig of Simchas Torah with all that goes along with it, the Hakafais. It's a very holy time, a very special time, and Unfortunately, we did not make it to go through some of the very beautiful nyanim of Chasson Torah, Chasson Bereshis. Who is more chashev? Is it more chashev to be the Chasson Torah or the Chasson Bereshis? It's a big machlokes. It's not so simple. Many people will tell you Chasson. It's not all simple. You bring rayos both ways, back and forth. You can look at the minhagi of Gedola Yisrael, who got what. Many will tell you that it's more chashev to be the Chasson Bereshis than the Chasson Torah. There's a beautiful rishus. It's a shame that in many shuls they don't give it the attention that it deserves. Okay, it's a beautiful nusach. The nusach of the rishus is second to none. The nusach that you recite for the Chasson Torah is very different than the nusach you recite for the Chasson Bereshis. It's very worthy to say it, to listen, to say it very slowly. I know years ago, they don't do it, and years ago in Chaim Berlin, the one who davened Musaf, the Baal Tefillah, the Baal Musaf, none other than the Baal Musaf himself, was the one who would say the Rishus, and he said it very slowly, very melodiously. The Nigun is the Nigun of Abdomus. Abdomus, Nilin, that Nigun is used for the Rishus. He would say it was a ceremony. And it made a very powerful roshim on many people who listened to. He said it with the same intensity like unisana toikif. It was a very, very special thing, and you know, it's something you should not take for granted. And people, unfortunately, you know, they don't take it seriously. Okay, one of the very important halach genyin, making kiddush. Making kiddush. When do you make kiddush? And this is something which is abused. Very, very much. Are you allowed to make kiddush on mezoinis? And not, you have to have kiddush b'mokayim su'uda. Kiddush b'mokayim su'uda. So what is called a su'uda? So the ideal su'uda is bread. If you can't have bread, what's the next best thing to have? Mezoinis. So that's what we all do. Who here today would not go to a kiddush on Shabbos and have kiddush and have mezoinis? What about at night? Can you fulfill kiddush b'mokayim su'uda with mezoinis at night? This is a big, big controversy. Many poskim hold no. The only way you can mimikayim kiddush b'makayim suda at night is much more chomor, you need bread. Therefore, it poses a very great challenge, simchas Torah. Because many shuls want to have very long hakafis, and people are hungry. So the solution is to make kiddush at night. No one's washing at night in shul. They're putting out cake, and whatever, and you have wine to make cake, and that's a very controversial thing if that is halachically correct to permit one to make kiddush at night on mizoinis and mekayim kiddush b'mokim suda at night with mizoinis. Obviously, the minig is to be makel. Many, many shuls are very lenient. In Lakewood, Rav Aaron Kotler was very makbid on this, not to do this. He held with shaloika halacha, and in Lakewood, there the hakafas go very, very late. And they don't eat. The people there that are very serious, the old-timers that go back from the time of Aaron Kotler, they obviously is an ir ha-Torah. It's all about Torah, simchas Torah. You could imagine it's very special there. And he held that it was shaloi ka-halacha, so they don't eat. You have to make sure you have a good meal in the afternoon before you come to simchas Torah, because you're not allowed to make kiddush on mezoinis. However, it's a fact that it's not the minute today. Make kiddush? Wherever I've been. I've been, yeah, a lot of shuls. A lot of shuls.
A lot of people in the middle of Hakafas go home.
Yeah. Okay, so what they do in some yeshivas is that they daven Ma'ariv, they go home to eat. Okay, this is like a Chaim Berlin thing, right? They go home to eat. RJJ, they did it?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. Everybody went home and came back.
Okay, so you go home. And you go home and you eat, and you come back. Now, that's also a little bit problematic.
Yeah.
That's problematic as well because it's the middle of Ma'ariv.
But they didn't want people to rush for right. Hakafas, and they had a long Hakafas.
Having it, changing the seder of going home, you're middle of Ma'ariv. You're davening Shemona Esrei, and you say Kaddish to Skabel. But it's not the seder. It's not the seder. You didn't say a later, you have to say Kaddish Yosem, a later, a David. And all, okay, break. Everyone go home. It's not a simple matter to be mishanet, to change to change the Seder HaTfilah. So it's basically, it's like everything else in life, it's a no-win situation. Okay, you're cutting corners somewhere. Wherever you're doing, you cut it. You can stay in shul. It's a hefsek. Hakafis was established to be part of Ma'arif. It's a
chil. Established Simchas Torah. Was that they switched the cycle from 3 years to 1 year?
Oh no! So it would appear that even in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know. I don't remember. It's complicated. What they did in Eretz Yisrael, but it was a very the popular minhag was once a year to Messiah once a year. Okay, by day also, there are different minhagim. There are so many minhagim, what people do by day to stay in shul. Are you allowed to have kiddush? Are you allowed to have kiddush before Kriyas HaTorah? Okay, so some shuls, not so simple. Are you even mechuyev in kiddush before Kriyas HaTorah? Before Kriyas HaTorah, some hold you can eat without making kiddush. The obligation to recite Kiddush, when does it begin? It begins after Shacharis. When is Shacharis over? Shacharis is not over until after Kriyas HaTorah. So it's also a no-win situation. It's like blowing shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, you want to make Kiddush with a blowing shofar. Are you even obligated to make Kiddush? When is the obligation of Kiddush begin? Does it begin before Kriyas HaTorah? Does it begin after Kriyas HaTorah? Or is it proper to eat before you hear the Torah? In some shuls, they first get their aliyah, and after you get the aliyah, they run away to Kiddush. Okay, some shuls, they have Kiddush before they do Hakafas. So they finish Shmona Esrei, they have Kiddush, and then they first begin, and then they first begin. Okay, every shul has a different technique, and each technique has its advantages and its disadvantages. It's not a perfect situation, no matter how you look at it, but there's no other way. There's no other way, so you have to do the best that you can. And okay, we'll leave it with that. We'll take a short break, and then we'll discuss very briefly. We'll discuss a few ideas. Divrei Haggadah on Sukkos and Parshas Hazinu.
After Halloween.